Your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. I've really thought about this for some time, of having a series. And I thought, well, there's so many things going on during the weeks, and we may not be able to do every week in a row. But I wanted to go ahead tonight and start in the Gospel of John, and just start a series in this great book of the Bible. One of the premier chapters and books of the Word of God is found written, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Something went off. Written by the Holy Spirit. Let me get this on. And he gives to us some things about the Lord Jesus Christ and the activities that Jesus did during his personal ministry. And so tonight we're going to be dealing with this, starting with of course, chapter number one, and going through the book. And like I said, we may not be able to do every Wednesday night because I'll be gone some, and be some other things that will come up where we cannot do that. But the Gospel of John is so much different than any other of the three other Gospels. It's different than any other book of the Bible, and it's very different than anything in the Scripture, and that makes it unique. And of course, every book, every chapter, every verse is a unique portion of God's Word. There's nothing any more important than the other. But there are some things that draw our attention more to the Lord. And there are some things that that we just enjoy reading and studying maybe more than other things. And the Gospel of John certainly is an enjoyable book to read, as it proves who Jesus Christ is. And it gives us some details about his earthly ministry. When you come to John's Gospel, you'll find that there is no genealogy. The Gospels have a genealogy tracing back Jesus Christ, one to Abraham, one to Adam. In John's Gospel, you'll find no manger scene. It doesn't tell us about the birth of Christ. It doesn't give us any details about the boyhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no temptation recorded, and there's no baptism that is given to us. He is with Peter and James on the Mount of Transfiguration and also in the Garden of Gethsemane, but yet there's no mention of those two important places in the Scripture. Someone say, well, why would that not be? Why would John not include that? Well, the only answer that we can have is because the Holy Spirit directed that he not do that. It's almost like John had the other Gospels and looked at them and said, well, they have this, so I'm going to have something else. And John gives us some things about the miracles and the signs of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those famous two words that Jesus says that he is the I Am. And the discourse is found nowhere else in the Scripture. It's found in John's Gospel. There's no lepers, there's no publicans, there's no demoniacs, there's no parables. So John's Gospel is very different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It has been said that John's language is a very simple language with a small vocabulary. He uses only about 600 words, different words, in his book, which that's the vocabulary of about a seven or eight-year-old child. So John's Gospel is a very simple gospel to understand. It is a message that gives to us and gives to us the understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is in his life. The writer John Phillips says this about John's words. He says, if his words were coins, their denomination would be large. They are like the golden coins with sovereigns inscribed on them that would be found in a rich man's purse. And so the words that John gives us are very important, and things that we need to understand about Jesus Christ. John has some special words and some favorite words that he uses in the book of John. He uses the word Father most. That's most repeated than any other of the important words, and it's repeated 121 times. Then he uses the phrase My Father 35 times. The word Believe is given to us 99 times. World is presented to us 79 times. The word Jew or the people of the Jews are mentioned 71 times, abide 41, and life 36 times. So John uses some of the most simple words and simple sentences to plunge us really into the mind of the staggering concept of who Jesus Christ is. And he uses it in terminology that anyone can understand. Now, the series that we're starting tonight is not a series that we'll go verse by verse. We may mention many of the verses, but it's not going to be preaching two verses in the next week, two more verses, and that's one type of series. But what I'm going to try to do this time is just a very simple outline form of what John's Gospel gives us in every chapter. And so we're going to, every Wednesday night, we'll be preaching from another chapter out of the Gospel of John. Just some simple thoughts and some simple ideas that give us some amazing concepts and ideas concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice when we come to John chapter number 1 tonight, you'll find that it has 51 verses. So it's a long chapter. And there's no way in what I'm trying to do, there's no way we can read all of those verses and remark on each one of them, because we'd have more than one night to do that. But I'm going to try to concisely bring these verses together. And just simply tonight, and I guess we would entitle the message tonight, Jesus is the Word. And that, of course, is the central theme of the book of John, especially John chapter number 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made with Him, were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Here we find in these five verses a world of a vast world of understanding, some things about the Word of God. In John's presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, John goes all the way back to eternity, and he begins the ministry of the Savior to the lost humanity. He says, "In the beginning." You'll find there's another book of the Bible that tells us this, opens the same way, and that's the book of Genesis, "In the beginning." And so we find here that John goes all the way back to where Moses goes back in the book of Genesis, and he goes all the way back to the beginning. Genesis says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God." And so in that creation act, there was the Lord Jesus Christ. In that creation act, there was the God of the universe. In the beginning was the Word. And tonight we're going to look at some verses, and we'll be looking at a number of these verses. We cannot read all of them for sake of time, but we're going to be dealing with the subject of Jesus is the Word. Those first five, other than the first five verses, John deals with the personal ministry and earthly walk of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it covers a period of about 7 years of the life of the Lord. Now, those first verses go all the way back to eternity. But from chapter 1, verse 6 on, it covers about a period of 6 or 7 years in the earthly life and the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 1 and 2 tells us that the Word was with the Father. I'm glad tonight that we can declare that in the beginning was the Word. Later on we find out that that Word was none other than the Son of God, that the Word was none other than Jesus Christ. Verse 14 tells us the Word was made flesh. Now we know that that was Christ. The Word that is capitalized here in verse 14 and capitalized in verse number 1 is a Word that is representative and meaning the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus had an earthly ministry. He began it here upon this earth. John doesn't tell us about the birth. John doesn't tell us about the visit of the Magi. He doesn't tell us about the things that took place concerning the manger scene. But John tells us and goes back to the very beginning as far as the redemptive plans of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And He tells us here that He was full of grace and truth. So the Word and the Father are synonymous here and work together And so not only was in the beginning of redemption, but it was the beginning of creation. Those verses that we read, verse 3, 4, and 5, John goes all the way back to the creation. Verse 1 and 2 is in eternity. Verse 3, 4, and 5, we begin the creation. And John tells us that the Word was there active in the creation, and that it is the beginning. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That should settle it for the Bible believer. That should settle it for the Christian. That should settle it for those of us that hold the name of Christ, and for people that call themselves believers. That should settle everything as far as creation is concerned, because all things were made by Him. And if it wasn't made by Him, it's not here. And so the whole thing tells us here that Jesus was active in eternity and Jesus was active in creation. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus came to the world, but certainly the world did not comprehend. They did not look, and they did not grasp who the Lord Jesus Christ was. In verse number 9 through verse 14... We find here that the Father, that the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the very concept of redemption. You'll notice there in verse number 9, it says, "And this was the true light." You'll notice the word light there is capitalized. That's talking about a personal person, and of course it is Jesus Christ. "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." That's really just a restatement of verse number 3, 4, and 5. And it says, "The world knew Him not." Verse 11, here we find the acts of redemption for the people of God. "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him," thank God for that verse, "His own," the Jew that Jesus came to and presented Himself as the Messiah, they rejected Him. But John comes along and says, "Even though they rejected Him, as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." I'm glad tonight that we are children of God, because God has given us the power, the faith to believe and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as many as will receive Him, they are born again. They are saved, and they are following the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." There's that word believe that John uses those many times. "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And so here John tells us that life begins with God as far as creation is concerned. Redemption is because of the Lord. And now he tells us here that a person is born not of his own will, not of his own flesh, but a person is born by the will of God. Verse 13. And then John gives us that great statement that I read a moment ago, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Before there could ever be redemption, the Word had to become flesh. Man had sinned. Man had taken on the traits of ungodliness, and when Adam sinned against God, the whole human race fell into disrepair without the Lord, and was going to continue on and go the wrong direction. And John says the Word was made flesh; He dwelt among us, and John says we beheld His glory. Now you have to remember, when John wrote this, John had already become an older gentleman. John didn't write his gospel as he was walking up and down the seashore with the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably the other disciples have already passed on the scene, and they're gone, and John's sort of by himself. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit comes to John and inspires him and moves upon him. The Bible says, "Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And the Spirit of God came upon John and gave John by inspiration these words. And John recalls from his memory, and what the Lord recalls in his memory, John writes these things down. And John said, "We beheld His glory. We looked upon Him. We handled Him. We touched Him." So the Word and the Father are so very synonymous here in these verses. The Word of God and it gives to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we didn't read verse 6 and 8 and some other verses here because it talks about there was a man that was sent. And of course, we know this man was John the Baptist. And so we find the Word is working with the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know from Scripture, from other places, that John and Jesus were in the same family. They were relatives. And John the Apostle says, there was a man sent from God. That's important to understand, that John the Baptist came on the scene because God sent him to the scene. And John said, I'm not the Messiah. Some of the folks said, John, are you Messiah? He said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm the one that prepares the way for him. John was just a preparer. He was the one that went before, and it was customary of that time when royalty was going down a road, there was somebody in front of them, ahead of them as they traveled to make sure the potholes were fixed and there was nothing in the way, and they took care of the way as before the king came. And so John identifies himself as the one that goes before the Lord Jesus Christ as a forerunner or preparer of the way. But he was sent from God. He was sent from the Word, as we have already noted. Look over into the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We'll not stray too many times out of John's Gospel, but I wanted to read this verse that gives us a prophecy concerning this man that was sent from God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Verse number 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. The Scriptures of the New Testament tells us that was none other than John the Baptist. He was that voice that cried in the wilderness, and he's preparing the way for the Messiah to come, because the Word of God is eternal, so therefore people need to know, and somebody has to tell, somebody has to give. Look in verse number 15. This is speaking of John the Baptist now. John bare witness of him, cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. So John the Baptist's message was what? The same as the Apostle John. John's message was that he was before me. I'm preparing. He's the one that's coming after me. And the fullness we have we all received, and grace for grace. And John goes on and tells about Jesus being the eternal Word of God. You can read all the way down through verse number 30. And so many times they're talked about John the Baptist, his ministry of telling that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he prepared the way for him. And so the Scripture, of course, one of the great statements that John says in verse number 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There John the Baptist prepared the way and gave the message of this Word that we're talking about in John chapter 1. Jesus certainly is the Word. He was eternal. Verse 29 that we just read shows that he's the substitute. He's the one that took our place. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away. He doesn't push it forward anymore. He takes it away. The Old Testament thought was that every day or every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in. We mentioned that this past Sunday. The high priest would go in and would offer the blood sacrifice there upon the altar. And by doing that, the Lord would see that sacrifice and he would push the sins of Israel forward for one more year. The next year, the high priest would have to do the same thing. The next year, they'd have to do the same thing. And on and on and on until Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God. Now, John doesn't say he's going to go in and push them forward. He says here, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away. That's one of the first things about the activity of Jesus Christ that John gives to us, that he is the substitute for man in his sin. In verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." What a great statement. John said, "I saw, and now I bear record to you that this man called the Word and the Light and the Truth, this one that has been presented by and given to us for eternity past and was active in creation, and now he's here upon this world." And John the Baptist says, "Here he is." John says, "I bear record, I saw, I bear record that this is the Son of God." I'm glad to thank God the Word had a message to give to this world, and that Word is that he was, and thank God he still is and shall always be, the Son of God. Some people teach and try to tell us that Jesus became the Son of God when he was born. Jesus has been the Son of God from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and he was the Son of God. And so there's the Word in the Father. There's the Word in the forerunner, John the Baptist. Now, in verse 35 through 50, we're not going to read these verses, but in those verses we find that they're the Word and the followers. There are those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are part of that following crowd tonight. And in verse number 35, "And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God." There again is that statement. That's the next day. So 2 days in a row, the declaration has been made that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now verse 37 says, "And two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." John had a great following. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, came on the scene. He had a great following of disciples. And when they heard the message that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, the Bible says here two of the disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So now there's a transaction taking place, a transition from John's ministry to the Lord's ministry. There's the transition from the preparer of the way unto the way. And they heard him speak and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what these followers did are tremendous. The first thing they did was said in verse number 39, "Come and see." You see, that's the same thing we are to do as believers tonight. We're to tell people, come unto the Lord, come and see, come and taste, come and know that he is good. And so Jesus turned and in verse 38, and he saw them following, he says, "What seek ye?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" "Why do you want to know where I dwell?" Well, they wanted to be with him. They wanted to follow him. They were disciples now of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him at that day. And about the 10th hour, one of the two which heard John speak followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So here we have the introduction of Andrew and the message and the direction given that he is Peter's brother. So here's Andrew following the Lord. Notice what he does. "He findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." Every time you read about Andrew, Andrew is always bringing somebody to the Lord. I'll tell you what, he's a good example of what we ought to be. We ought to be an Andrew. And so Andrew brings his brother Simon. These are the followers of the Lord. They sought the dwelling place of Jesus Christ. They listened to his words, and as they listened, they were convinced, and then they brought others to the Lord. Verse number 40 says he brought him to Jesus, 42. And verse number 43, the day following, and you see there's some days that's coming by now. This is the third day. The day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth Philip and said to him, Follow me. So here you have Andrew, you have Simon Peter, and now you have Philip. Now Philip was a Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We found him. Now, here we have a gathering of men that all of a sudden they realize Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And John is declaring all these things here in his opening chapter of his book. And every one of these folks, they are talking about following the Lord and doing what the Lord would have him do. And you know, it's interesting here that Philip findeth Nathanael and said, "We have found him." If you read up a verse or two, you find out it's the Lord that's found them. But you see, when Jesus finds us, it's just like us finding him, a great treasure. And there's nothing wrong with saying we've found the Lord, even though we know that it is the Lord that finds us. He seeks us out and finds us. And so here's the word. They brought others, many, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathanael tells there in verse number 45, "Philip findeth Nathanael. We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write." Philip said, and he said, "Why, Moses wrote about this man. He's the I Am. And Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." You see, Nazareth was not a very popular place. And here this question is asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And the answer was, you just come and see, you'll find out. Something good has come out of Nazareth. Jesus saw Nathanael. These verses are so tremendous. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" "How do you know me?" They'd never met. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under a fig tree, I saw thee." Here we find the wonderful power and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and calls him by name, and he says, "You're an Israelite indeed." And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I knew you when you were sitting under the tree yesterday when you were called by Philip. Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." So we find here the followers of the Word of God. And what a tremendous impact that Jesus had in their life. I'll tell you what, he's had a tremendous impact in our life as a believer. He's made a difference in our life. And by the way, while we were, wherever we were, Jesus knew where we were. He had an understanding all about us. Before we ever knew him, he knew where we were. And that's a tremendous fact of the Word of God, that Jesus knows, God understands, God cares, God knows all about us, and he does as he pleases with his people. Verse number 51, the last verse of John chapter 1, "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What he's telling him is, Nathanael, you're going to see great things. There's going to be some things in the future concerning this Word, or the Word, who is none other than Jesus Christ. He was approved of the Father. "Hereafter you shall see heaven open." Some days later, from this point, years later, a few years, heaven literally does open and receive Jesus Christ back into the glory. And so we find that the Word was approved of the Father and sustained by the angels. The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You'll find many, many scriptures and references that the angels, and they came to minister to the Lord, and they came to help Him. John chapter 1 presents Jesus Christ as the incarnate God, the substitute of man's sin. What a wonderful message we have to tell the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God was the fulfillment of prophecy. This Word that dwelt among the disciples and they beheld His glory fulfilled the prophecy concerning God's full revelation concerning Himself and of mankind. We'll close with Revelation chapter number 19 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. This is the coming of the Lord in verse 11. I saw heaven open and the white horse. And then drop down to verse 13. This describes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. We beheld him. We handled him. We knew him. He came to his own. His own received him not. But his name is the Word of God. I'm glad tonight we serve a Savior that is real. He's active. And by the way, he's not sitting on the sidelines today inactive. Jesus Christ is very active in the affairs of mankind. Most people don't realize it and don't recognize it. But this whole world is going just exactly the way God has planned for it to go. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House or anywhere else. It's going to work just like God said it would work. And so may the Lord help us to depend upon Him. And John said, that's the Word. There He is. And that Word dwelt among us. And that Word was baptized. And we have bear record. And John says here, I saw and I bear record that He is the Son of God. And I heard John the Baptist say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That was the one. That is the one. That is our Messiah. So in John chapter 1, we find Jesus is presented as the Word. And we'll go through these different chapters and not get into a lot of the detail, not go too slow in it. But each chapter on Wednesday night is the Gospel of John, and it will be revealing some things about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Let's stand together tonight.